Good morning, church. All right, welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. Last week I said some things and I've been thinking about it all week. And as we were praying, the Lord was like, say it again. And it's interesting to me because sometimes I say something and I go home and I think about it and I'm just like, oh, why did I say that? Or it doesn't feel comfortable. And then this morning he was like, say it again. So I'm just gonna be obedient. I'm just gonna say it again. And that's this. So this morning, my youngest climbed up into bed and said, Mommy, you know, I want to stay home. I just want to cuddle. I just want to be with you. And wow, if there is one temptation to skip church that is high, it is that. Like, she's the youngest of eight, and I just, oh, I could just stay there all day with her. And so last week I had said, you know, coming to church on a Sunday morning hasn't always been the easiest thing for me. I haven't always wanted to come. And I haven't always been consistent in coming throughout all of my years, like 25 years or longer, 35 years of church attendance. But I've grown to a point where I know there's something here for me. And I know there's something here for me that I can't get anywhere else. God is with us, church. He's with us every minute of every day. And every time we open our mouth and we say, God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, hear me. I need you. Every time, in any situation, he hears us. In the midst of temptation, church, you can cry out to Jesus. And he hears you. But the journey is, for me, and I think for a lot of people, is that he created us to be in community with other people who are imperfect like us, who are real like us, who may not treat us perfectly, and we have to extend them grace. But guess what? We don't treat each other perfectly, and we always are in need of grace. So this morning you've come, and I'm thankful that you're here. I just feel like the Lord wants you to know that choosing to trust him and enter into community is always the right choice. That when we make it a point on a Sunday morning to show up with expectancy, that he is going to, his presence is going to come as we worship him. Just getting up and getting in your car and driving is faith. You wouldn't do it if you didn't trust that he was going to show up here this morning. So welcome to church this morning, church. Hallelujah. Welcome to the building where we're going to be the church this morning.
That's right. That's good. Well, stand with me, church. We're going to do the call to worship this morning out of Psalm 150. I didn't check. I have the New Living Translation. Yeah, do we have that today? Yes. And we usually do the New King James Version, but I thought this was really good in the New Living Translation. It says this. It says, praise the Lord. Church, can we praise the Lord this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise him for his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and the flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the loud clanging cymbals. Let everything, church, let everything, which is me and you, that breathes, sing praises to the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord this morning. Can we praise him today? Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. Jesus, we thank you for all you are, all you've done for us. And Lord, we gather as the church today to be in your presence. Your word says when two or more are gathered together, you are here with us. And so you are here. We seek you. We come expecting in faith of what you have for us today. Give you honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
Church, we belong to Jesus. It's all him. It's all Jesus. You know, we all came into this world the same way, without a penny to our name and completely naked, not knowing how to speak, think, or do much of anything at all. And we all came to the cross in the same state. in need of a Savior. There is not a single one of us who can look to another and feel superior. Such a lie. Good behavior counts for nothing. Good behavior that seeks salvation or credit or merit counts for nothing. In fact, the word says that it's as filthy rags. The rags they're talking about are rags that were used for the bathroom. Filthy rags. Good works that are done out of pouring out of a gratefulness and a love of the Savior. Those good works, if you say, wow, you are so steadfast in reading the Bible. That person, when it's out of love for the Savior, like, let me tell you how Jesus brought me to this place where I can't get enough of it. I used to be, but Jesus did. Wow. Pastor Jason, you preach. Your preaching is so powerful and anointed. He'll say to you, let me tell you about Jesus. I used to be, and then Jesus, and now I am. And all the glory goes to him because he does all the work. And we believe. That's our work. We believe God. We believe his word. We believe he's good. He's good. Hell is this reality, this awful, awful reality of an absence of God that is the destination of all who won't know God. They refuse to know him. We talked about a couple weeks about the Romans and how God has made himself known in creation. You can't stand and look at creation and say there is no God. You're willfully denying God. Hell is a reality, and he wants to save us. It grieves me, people. Well, why does a loving God send people to hell? He doesn't. He seeks to save you from it. What an accusation against the character of a loving God. My goodness, he loves us so much. He saves us from everything. He's willing. There's no amount of garbage that you've done or muck that you're covered in that will make him turn away from you. He wants to save you. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we worship. It's the God who saves us. And we believe in who he is because we've lived it. We believe in his goodness to save. We believe in his love to redeem and restore. And we magnify Jesus because he is the way and the truth and the life. He is the way that God provided for us to be restored in relationship. He is the only way. And I've said this, I think I said this at lunch with Kara last week. If there was another way that was easier or more comfortable, I certainly would be tempted. But I've tried all kinds of ways. Have you? Are we all tired of trying all the other ways to save ourselves? None of them work. None of them work. It's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. This morning we're gonna partake of communion. If Jesus is your person, if it's all Jesus for you, then this is the table for you. When you come to this table, you leave behind any illusion of self-salvation. You leave behind any illusion of good works and striving for righteousness. And you come to the table naked and empty-handed, and you partake of only Jesus. It's like my favorite thing. It's my favorite part. Because it restores my soul back to him week after week after week in just such a real and supernatural way. The plate in the middle is the gluten-free elements, and the elements on the sides are stacked together. So I'm going to release you, and you're going to come down to the table. Just pick up your double stack of cups and circle back to your seats. And then Pastor Jason's going to come up, and we're going to partake of communion together this morning.
Praise you, Lord. Church, let's just take a moment and reflect on Pastor Liz just shared. What a good word from the Lord this morning. We cannot save ourselves. It's not our works. It's not our efforts. It's Jesus and only Jesus. So let's just take a moment to lay all things before Him. Everything we came in with today, all those anxious thoughts, struggles, concerns. Turn our hearts, our minds, our focus on who He is, what He has done. His body broken, His blood shed for us. No greater love. No greater love. Jesus, we thank You. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Lord, we just praise You this morning. We thank You, God, that Your will is that none should perish, that You truly are a saving God, that You made a way for that salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Jesus, we thank You for the sacrifice, coming to earth, to living a sinless life, to going to the cross, Your body broken, Your blood shed for us. Lord, we thank You for the resurrection as well, that You defeated death and defeated sin so we can walk in relationship with You forever. We praise Your holy name. Thank You, Lord. The Bible says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke and He said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" His body broken for us. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." His blood shed for us. Lord, we just thank You and praise You and worship You, Lord. We thank You that it's only because of You. Always only Jesus. Always only Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Stand with me, church. We're going to continue to worship the Lord. I just want to encourage all of us. What Pastor Liz shared this morning, the gospel message wrapped up in 2 minutes was phenomenal. And if you're just struggling today, or you just say, "I need more of Jesus today," or maybe you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior. And we typically do, a way to come at the end of service, a call for salvation, but the Bible says today is the day for salvation. If you feel that tugging on your heart today, say, "This is me today. I want to live a different life, and I want to receive and accept Jesus as my Lord." Just come up front. Come to the cross. Just come to the cross today. We'll meet you here. We'll pray with you. If you want to come up front just to worship Him, come off to the sides. But if you today say, "I'm deciding to make Jesus my Lord and Savior," come to the cross today. Let's worship Him.
Today we choose Jesus. Father, this morning we come together and we choose Jesus. God, we lay down every idol, every profane thing, every foul thing that has presented itself to us as a way. God, open our eyes. Open our eyes this morning, God. Open our eyes, God. Open our eyes. Let us see it for what it is this morning. Let us, give us eyes to see the scheming of the enemy. Give us eyes to perceive, give us hearts to perceive your truth in the midst and in the valley of lies. God, that the enemy would package up pretty and we would open it, Father. I just rebuke it in the name of Jesus. God, give us eyes this morning in the name of Jesus to see it for what it is. We choose your way this morning, Jesus. We choose your truth to be our truth. We choose your way to be our way. We choose your suffering to enter into it, to be our suffering, that we may have life and have it abundantly and have it eternally. God, that we can have communion with you, that we can have relationship with you. God, that we can have freedom from oppression with you, Jesus. God, I pray it in the name of Jesus. I pray it in Jesus' name. I pray it in Jesus' name. God, we believe your word. Let faith be multiplied. Let faith be multiplied as your word is heard today. The Rhema word, which is spoken in our hearts from your mouth to our hearts, God. Your word, the word of God, let it be heard with fresh ears, ears that are anointed to hear, hearts that are soft and receptive. God, we are ready. We are ready. We ask for more of you, Jesus, and we ask with a healthy fear of the Lord, because it means something. It means something. God, strengthen us. We choose you today, God. We choose you today, Jesus, in Jesus' name.
As we're saying that prayer, I just felt the Lord say to read Psalm 23. Most of you know that psalm or have heard it before. Can we just close this time of worship as I read this psalm? Let's receive it and recognize how good our Father is to us. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Thank you, Jesus.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Lord.
Can I read it in a different translation? We did a Bible study the other night with the Gauls at our house, and it was so much fun. It sounds super spiritual. It's the first time we've done that with them, and it was so much fun. But what we did is we did a passage of scripture and we read it. We we all had different Bibles, and we read it in different translations, and we would just discuss it. So I'm going to read Psalm 23 in the New Living Translation. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Isn't God good, church? I love that. Surely his goodness and his unfailing love will pursue me. Y'all know I was a runner. I'd get close to God, and as soon as he was a little too much, I would just run. I would just run back to old ways or back to things that felt more comfortable or more safe. And there's today, by the grace of God and to his glory, there is nowhere more safe than being close to him. I run no longer. But in all my days of running, his goodness and his unfailing love never cease to pursue me. It's such a comfort. It's such a comfort, and it's such a testimony to who he is, to the character of God. Unfailing. Long-suffering, merciful, and good. All right, church, during this time, we're going to take a little break. Kids, parents, if you want to take kids to nursery, ages 0 to 3, or littles ministry, ages 4, 5, and 6, now's the time to do that. During the break, there'll be buckets up here for the tithes and the offerings. You can bring it joyfully to the Lord. Also, on the back of the seat is the connection card. If this is your first time, we welcome you. We love Jesus, and we love worshiping him with others, with people. So we're happy to have you here. There's a card, that connection card on the back of the seat. If you want to fill it out and put your email, we will send you a welcome email, and it'll connect you with information about our church. But I also encourage you out in the lobby, if you're a guest and, out in the lobby, or if you're not a guest, there's information in the column. There's rack cards about who we are, about what water baptism, kids ministry, and it will be kind of next steps if you're looking to know more, if you're looking to get involved, if you're looking to just become part of this body of believers who I love. I love you guys. I love you guys. Makes me so happy every Sunday to see your faces. That's saying something. It is. It's all you, all the ones who know me, I love you guys. So welcome if you're a first-time guest. And then Kid Corner, if you're an ECF kid, get your bag and clean them up. At the end of church, when you're done with your sermon bag, clean it up. There it is, some eye contact. All right, is there anything else? Did I miss anything? All right, let's just take a little break and we'll come back together. About 5 minutes. All right, church. Just had like a Solomon figure out this little conflict in the front row thing real quick. The Lord was like, do this. I was like, oh, this will solve the whole problem. Parenting with Jesus is better than parenting without Jesus. Amen. Okay, a couple of announcements. We have some very active, some very awesome small groups. I encourage you to get connected. Connect yourselves. That's a good way to say it. Connect yourselves in with a small group. A young adult group, Tuesday the 23rd at 6 p.m. in the Rose Center. There's Sid. Sid is also our worship leader. This morning she's back in the AV booth, which is my least favorite place for her to be. I like when she's right here. But on the second and fourth Tuesday at 6 p.m. She is up at the Rose Center, and they do a small group. It's 18 to 28-year-olds. So if that's you, if you want more information, you can email Sid. Right there's her email, sydney@ecfchurch.org, or you can grab her today, or you can ask Pastor Andy. He knows, like, all the things about all the things. So that's young adults. We also have Women to Women, which is Wednesday the 24th, 6:30 p.m. at Maureen's house. That's Maureen and Joanna. They lead Women to Women. This is a super safe space. I trust these women so much to be real and to love people and to talk about the Bible and do it well. So, and to support women. So if you are a woman and you want to be connected, then connect yourself in with Women to Women. It is at Maureen's house. So if you want that location, we don't post it publicly, but we are happy to share it. If you're interested in going to that group, you can email ecf@ecfchurch.org, or Maureen and Joanna are in the front row. If you want to nab them after church and ask for their address, do it. Last small group is that I'm going to talk about this morning is the Luciano group. It's tonight at 6:30 here in the sanctuary. There's Paul. Everyone knows Paul. And he's a phenomenal teacher. This is a teaching group. It is the word, the word, the word, which there is nothing that will grow your faith than hearing the word, reading the word, being in the word, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal himself and to lead you in the word. So don't miss that group. You can connect yourself in there. It's every third Sunday at 6:30 here in the sanctuary, and tonight's the night. So if you want, connect in with that. All right, new Bible reading plan is coming soon. We are setting up YouVersion and doing some things with Bible reading plan, so we're excited about that. And also, YouTube channel. Last week we asked for you all to subscribe, and I think we needed 50 subscribers, and we got that, and it still didn't work this morning. So pray for Sid. She's super frustrated on that fact. But if you are not subscribed to the YouTube channel, go ahead and go and subscribe to it, and that'll be great. And when we get it to work, there it will be. We've been using Facebook Live, and it's just not awesome. I think we're using it this morning. Hi, Facebook. We don't like you. they're like, zoom, shut down. whatever. Bring it on. Shut me down. So YouTube. We're trying to kind of switch formats. So if you haven't subscribed, go ahead and do it.
Okay. One other quick thing I would just want to mention, which is exciting news. Sid's going to have a fun week. Sid's working on the YouTube and the streaming, but we are also getting a new sound system this week. So praise God for that. That is fully paid for. God has provided the funds to do that, which is super exciting. And as a lot of you know, it's really hard to hear with certain microphones. The acoustics in the room aren't that great, but we've been needing to upgrade our sound of the microphones and the soundboard. That's a good future one, so we can expand the worship team, also do more stuff online. There's a lot of reasons for it, but hopefully, not hopefully, I know, in faith, next Sunday, it will sound much better. There's a training this week for those who are invited already know that. And then a guy, his name is Mike, he'll be here next Sunday back in the booth, sort of tuning us all in with, you know, the people in the room and seeing how that goes. So really much looking forward to that. God is faithful. He is good. And he is doing wonderful things. The second thing, just quickly, as we mentioned last week that there's a team at the City Mission. The report back came that they had fed 139 people. And it was super busy there, and so we're going to get more stuff out in front of you guys about how to serve in different ways, that being one of them. So just, you know, be ready to hear more about that as we begin to share some things. Okay, so tithes and offerings. I want to do something slightly different today. I want to put up the slide here of the ways to give, and I just want to remind everybody there's multiple ways that you can give. Of course, you can give in the offering envelope and bring it up here during the service. You can also give online through either our website, or you can text 84321 and you sign up with a little link there and you can give online. And so about a third of our giving is online. I thought maybe it was going to be more than that. I was a little surprised. So, you know, that means two-thirds is still I wouldn't call it the old-fashioned way. I would just say a way of giving by check or by cash in an envelope. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But if you, you know, if God has been putting on your heart to give, you're not currently tithing or giving to this church, and you feel like this is your church home, this is a great way to do it. You can do it online. It's really easy to get it set up. We always recommend doing ACH versus credit card, and it kind of walks you through that as well. So, but the new thing I want to do this week, and I don't know how often I'll do it, but we had talked about it as a staff, and how many of you were here for the business meeting that happened, you know, I think it was in January, was it February, March? I have no idea. What month are we in?
April.
Goodness gracious. Okay. So sometime this year, March, I think everyone's telling me this happened, in March, we did an update, kind of a church business update. We talked a little about vision and different things. And we said at the very bottom, it said, you know, as a church, for our weekly budget, we need to have $9,000 of that top line on your offering envelopes of giving in order to, you know, do what we want to go do and how we want to go do it. And we were at actually 6,900, but I rounded up to 7 when I spoke it to you guys. And it's interesting that everybody heard that. Everyone was just like, oh yeah, we're at 7, we need to be at 9. Like, whatever it was, like, it was something people caught on to, and you absolutely caught on to it, because if you look at the tithes and offer, the year-to-date average has moved from 6,900, technically, or 7,000 to 7,686. So thank you guys for your generosity. You know, $9,000, our average weekly goal, we really are praying and believing to get to. We also have that capital fund that we want to pay our debt down. That is the capital fund debt, and we want to pay our debt down. And we need about $1,500 a week on that as well. But, you know, between the two, it says, man, that seems to be a lot. But look, guys, God is faithful. He is good. And I just want to encourage you guys. You've heard it. You guys are responding to it. So I just wanted to say thank you for your generosity. And I'll do an update periodically on this just so everyone has a good feel for where we're at. And I'll get into more details on certain things, explain things more. But I'm going to save that for another time. So anyway, so God is good. Amen? He is faithful. I have a scripture I want to read out of Matthew 23. And this is also out of the New Living Translation. I'll be throwing some different translations in here and there, just to kind of mix things up, to see it from a different perspective. But this is Matthew 23:23. It says this. It says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe." So what Jesus is saying here is, yeah, tithing is that's good. That's great. That's what, you know, God is wants us to go do. However, you cannot tithe and forsake other things. So he goes on and says, even the tiniest income from your herb gardens. But you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. And Jesus says, you should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. And, you know, we're talking about giving, we're putting up the giving slides, and really, I mean, that is just one aspect or component of things, but the more important thing is God and his love for us and how we love and share and care for others. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are our provider. You are the Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides for all of our needs, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are moving and working in this church to do things. You've got plans and purposes, Father God. You have given us vision, Father God, of being debt-free, of changing things around. Father, there's so many things we want to go do, Lord, and we need the finances to do it, Lord, but you are the one that provides. And so we trust in you for that, Father God. We give you the praise and honor and glory. We thank you, Lord, that we have a generous church. Father, I thank you personally, the staff and the leadership team thanks you, Lord, for a generous church, that you are just growing us in our faith to be faithful stewards of what you've given us, Lord. And Father, I just praise you and honor you for all of the good things that you have provided for us already and the things that you will do. And so, Lord, as we get into your word today, that you would just reveal to us what you have for us as we dig into your word. In your precious name we pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, guys, well, the Sermon on the Mount, is it commenced? No, it finished. Commence is like starting something new, right? So that's not the right word. It finished last week, and we are sort of beginning to transition into a new, I'm not sure I love the word series anymore. We've kind of debated about that. We're moving on to another topic that we'll go as long or as short as the Lord leads us to go. And it's not like, well, we got to do a new sermon series next month and a new, well, okay, well, maybe. That's for some people. That's not for us. And we really want to get into the sense of spiritual maturity and what does that look like and what are the aspects of it. And the Lord's saying, but before we get into that, the spiritual maturity of what sort of our lives look like, we want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We want to talk about the fruits of the Spirit, and there's a couple of reasons why we want to do that. Is one is, a lot of times those are good indicators of where we're at, and these are things that grow over time, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that and what that looks like. And a lot of you know what they are, but I want to kind of go through them, and we're going to take some information from Timothy Keller as well. He did a study, commentary in Galatians. He does a really great job at outlining the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're going to kind of use some of his stuff to walk through that. But the real, all those are good reasons. But one of the primary reasons is if you remember at the beginning of this year, the Lord had said that he wanted to do an outpouring or a doubling of both the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit. And look, we're in April. I'm not sure it's doubled yet. But I'm standing on that word. I'm believing in that. And I don't want to lose sight of that. And I want to make sure that it's in front of us this year. That we, you know, it talks about when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, about earnestly seeking them and desiring them and to see them increase in our life. That, you know, whichever one it would be, if it's words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, all of those. And we're not going to get into those in this series, but I just want us all to remember that word of the Lord over this house, over this body of believers. And more fruit of the Spirit in our lives was part of that promise. And so I'm like, well, if there's going to be more of it, I'd like to understand it. And I'd like to be able to grow in it. And what does that look like? And what does that mean? And so we're going to start here in Galatians 5. And I want to read through this beginning passage. We're going to start in verse 13, actually, is where we're going to go. We're going to back up a little bit before Paul begins talking to the church about the fruit of the Spirit. I want to move back just a little bit. I'm going to start in verse 13. It says this, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty." The word also means freedom in this context. You've been called to freedom. "Only do not use liberty or that freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." Oof. We could stop there and just park there. We're not going to park there today. "But through love, serve one another." Verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word," in this one phrase. Even in this, "you shall love your neighbor as yourself." It's like, wow, that's great. That's a great, great, Jesus said it, I want to do it. How do I do it? What does that even look like? How do I begin to do that? We'll get into some of that. And then verse 15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." And so now then Paul's going to move into the fruits of the Spirit. So every time I like look at a passage of Scripture, I would challenge you guys to do this when you're reading or doing your own Bible study. If there's this passage of Scripture you're reading, when he's talking about therefore or since or because of, you always kind of want to look, well, what came right before that? And a lot of times, what came after it? Well, this comes right before the fruit of the Spirit. This comes right before the fruit of the Spirit. Don't bite and devour one another. Love each other as you love yourselves. You're like, these are the things that are coming. And I read those and say, how on earth can I do these things? In my flesh, in my own power, with my own works, with my own trying. How many of you love to try? I love to try. I can try. Trying has its place. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, when it comes to obeying God's commands, and this really has to be a heart issue. It has to be a transformation from the inside, and it has to come from Jesus. It has to come from Jesus, and it has to come from the Holy Spirit that gets placed on the inside of us when we accept and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That is the only way this stuff works. This is the only way living this stuff out works. You can try and try. Guys, I have tried. In the fruit of the Spirit, I'll just pick one of them. Patient. Okay, we're not getting into patience now, but I'll use that one. How many of you have tried to be patient? How many times did that not work? And all the same hands went up, right? You're like, you know what, today, you ever wake up and do this? Today, I'm going to be patient, right? And it's almost as if the Lord then, it's like never pray for patience because the Lord will give you opportunities to be patient and show you that you're not quite there yet. But this whole idea of trying to do stuff, it doesn't work. It has to be out of the overflow of who Jesus is, of what he's doing in our life. And as we're walking with him and living with him and walking with the Holy Spirit, it is only then that these fruit can begin to grow in our lives. And these fruit are an outflow of our walk with the Lord. They're not something we try that then changes and helps us to be able to walk with the Lord. No, our walk with the Lord then helps to begin to have these fruit to be able to grow. There's one way, and there's one only way, and that's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So verse 13 says, I say then, right? So this is, verse 16. I don't need reading glasses. Thank you, Lord. I have increased the font on my printouts. I'm at 14 at the moment. So what used to be a 3-page message is now a 6-page message. And the content hasn't changed. The font is getting bigger in my notebook. 16, thank you. I can see it now. I say then, okay, this is then, so this is like what happened before, so we just looked at that. I say then, walk in the Spirit. So this is Paul's. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And that word walk there means really to conduct your life. And you think about walking, right? How many like to walk? I like to walk, right? I don't like to run unless I'm running the base path on the softball team or I'm running down a basketball court or running to catch a football pass. Outside of those probably three things or chasing my kids, I don't like to run, but I do like to walk. And you think about walking, it's one, God designed us to do it. So I find that interesting that they use the word walk in the Spirit. God has designed us to walk. And it's also something that is a forward motion. I guess you could walk in place. People walk on treadmills all the time, right? But the sense of walking or conduct your life is this sense of moving forward. It's a forward motion. And he's saying, walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? So we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. What does that mean? Then verse 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. So now there's like this battle royale that Paul is putting out there. There's the Spirit, and then there's the flesh, and one wants to do this, and the other one wants to do that. Can I get an amen to that? Right? And the Spirit against the flesh, these are contrary to one another. They're opposites. They're enemies. They're like working against each other. So that you do not do things that you wish. And 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So I want to stop right there. So it says walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. What does that look like? So this walking in the Spirit, I think I can sum it up. I don't have it on the chart, but you could write this down. It's depending on his power. Period. Exclamation point if you want. It's depending on his power. To walk in the Spirit, we have to decide that I cannot do this on my own. I cannot be a great employee on my own. I can't be a good husband on my own. I can't be a good parent on my own. I can't even walk really good on my own. I can't speak on my own. I can't think on my own. I can't do anything on my own under my own power. I need the Spirit. I need God. I need Jesus in my life. I have to depend on his power. Not on my power, but on his power. So when we say what is walking in the Spirit or being led by the Spirit is we have to decide, I can't do it anymore. I was tired this morning. I woke up. Oh. If I was choosing to do it based on preaching this morning, based on how I felt, you'd all be looking around and say, hey, where's Pastor Jason at? He's at home sleeping. He's tired. He's at a volleyball tournament all day. And while I didn't play any volleyball, Eva, God bless you, she did all the playing, I am sore and tired as if I did play. Right? And many of us, we have these days, but it is not under my own power that I'm preaching this morning. I have to depend on His power. It means by the day, by the hour, it's being in tune with the Lord. It's being seeking Him and asking Him, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need You. It means waking up and before your feet hit the ground, saying, Jesus, I need You today. That's it. Let that be the first words that come out of your mouth. Before you don't have to kneel down, before you read Scripture, before you pop the Keurig or make your tea, whichever you choose, let that be our prayer. Jesus, I need You today. And that prayer is inviting Him to depend on His power throughout this entire day. And we have an example that we had used, you know, a while back. And I just want to share, like, well, what does this look like, Pastor Jason, on a day-to-day basis? And we have this thing I kind of like. It's not a formula, sort of. It feels that way. But it's this thing is where we worship and we pray and we hear from God. And it's the sense of, well, it's not like you have to put on a worship song, and it's not like you have to have a long prayer, but it's the sense of, you know what, before I decide something, before I go do something, before I start my day, can I invite Jesus into it? Can I say, I have to rely on Your power today? Because this fruit of the Spirit we're going to look at, you read these nine things, and you're just like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. And in our flesh, this battle, absolutely. It's a yeah, right. You can't do that. Good luck with those things. Well, my personality and my Myers-Briggs test and my this. Okay, those are all great things to understand and know us better. But the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit, and it comes from the Spirit. It doesn't come from us or our personality or our flesh. It actually comes from God and the Spirit of God on the inside of us growing in us on a day-to-day basis. We have to depend on His power. And then there's this thing that Paul's talking about. Then there's this lust of the flesh. How many of you know we are in a battle every single day? And he says, you know, the battle's not against flesh and blood. Well, guess what? That applies to ourselves as too. Is that actually there is this battle, not against other people, but there's this battle on the inside where we're like, our flesh says, I want to go do this. And you know, and your spirit says, I don't think that's what the Lord wants me to go do. And it's this constant battle. And Paul talks about it somewhere. I can't remember exactly where, but Paul does, he says, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do, and then I keep doing the things I don't want to do. And this is the Apostle Paul. This is a guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he's admitting and saying, this is difficult. It is a difficult battle within the flesh. And we have to understand that it's a battle. It's like, you know, a great analogy is like, you know, when two boxers get into the ring. I was going to use UFC, but I'm not sure I like that so much. It's just, okay, whatever. That's a whole other thing. But it's like boxing is just as violent. Okay, but okay, I'll use that. So you get these two boxers, and then they come into the ring, and their goal is to knock the other one out. And so the flesh, its goal, it's like, man, I want to do what I want to go do, and I want to take out the spirit, and I want to design my life and these things, and I want to be able to do my life so that I can get everything I want when I want it. And the spirit, man, is like, no, you can't do that. That's why we talk about fasting so much and these spiritual disciplines. There are things we have to do in our own life to actually put the flesh back where the flesh needs to be. Because unchecked, unworked on, unrecognized, unevaluated, or examined, the flesh will run rampant. Because that's the Bible said that's what it wants to go do. It wants to go the other way. It's contrary to the Spirit. And verse 19 says this. Now the works of the flesh are evident, clear, obvious. This is what our flesh wants, guys. This is, and every one of us, our flesh wants to go do these things. It says, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's just like, so we have to recognize and realize that these are the things our flesh wants to go do. This is what the flesh is. This is what it wants to be, what it wants to go do these things. And you say, well, Pastor Jason, but there are times where I feel these things, or I think on these things, or I've done these things. What about that? What about me? Well, I can tell you that the grace of God is sufficient for you. And it's interesting that the words that Paul uses here, it says that he says that these are the things that are evident for those that practice these things. There's a big difference between, look, there is a time where we slip or we fall and we sin, but it's when we begin to, the flesh says, oh, I want to do that more. I want to hold on to that. That means you begin practicing this thing. If you begin practicing the list of those things that are on there, it means that you are moving yourself away from the kingdom of God, that you are working and allowing your flesh to have control over your life and over your situations. And that's what Paul is telling us. That's what he's looking at. Those that practice these things. You know, our little guy loves to practice basketball. And he goes out there day after day after day, hour after hour after hour. And he goes out there and he shoots the basketball. And he shoots the basketball. And he keeps playing. And I hadn't been out with him in a while. And I went out with him, I don't know, this is like maybe last week or something like that. And I was like, okay, buddy. I see you've been practicing out here. So he's trying to get better at these things. This is what the flesh wants to do on all those things. But I'm going to use this as an example. And I said, okay, let's go. So I pass him the ball and I jump up in his face and have him shoot it. He made like, I don't know, it was like 19 out of 20 shots in a row. With me. I'm like, okay, move over here. And I pass it over there. I jump in his face. And he's just like swishing shot. And I was like, you know what, Jai? That has come from practice. And so when we see like this word practice these things, when we look at this portion of scripture, we have to say, okay, these are the things I don't want to practice. Because as you practice them, you get better at them. And those are the things that we don't want our lives to be aligned with. We don't want to go practice those things. Then he says in this in verse 22. So those other ones are indicated. Then it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is this. And I told my kids I was going to sing a song this morning. Mm-hmm. I know, people have not heard me sing. And nor do you want to. But I'm going to sing a children's song that they absolutely love. Look at, I think they're all getting their phones out. Lila, are you getting your phone out? Oh my gosh. Okay. They have this little song to remember the fruit of the Spirit of what they are. And it goes like this. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be the fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hey, okay. And then the song goes on and it goes and talks about bananas and cherries and all of a sudden they're like, Dad, do the whole thing. I'm like, that is 2.5 minutes. That is painful for all of you. And I shall not sing the whole thing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So here's the key to the fruit of the Spirit is you have to be crucified with Christ. You have to put your flesh down and say, Jesus, you did this for me. I no longer have to live this way. I am crucified my flesh because of Jesus and what you've done. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So back to what we said earlier. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what I'm going to do is we're going to walk through each of these fruit, and we're going to talk about a couple of things of these fruit. I'm just going to do one today. But first I want to talk about how does fruit grow? How does fruit grow? Do you know how long it takes from the time you plant an apple seed until the time you actually get an apple? A long time, right? It's a long time. This is God's with us in the long game. This isn't a short game. It's not like, oh, this is just Sunday and we're good. Like, God's in this thing for the long game. It takes between 3 and 5 years, depending on the type of apple tree. That's 3 to 5 years. From the moment you plant the fruit until you actually, the seed in the ground, until you actually see the fruit. And of course, Maggie's not in here. I wish that she was, because Maggie, every winter, this is what Maggie does every winter. Every time she eats an apple, she takes an apple seed and she puts it in this little jar up by the window. And when spring comes, which I don't know what's happening out there, if that's spring or not, I have no idea. But when spring comes, she says, Daddy, let's go plant these things. And so we have gone outside again this year. This time I did it in a special planter. I took the apple seeds and we planted them in the, like, I am not a gardener, right, at all. But I planted them in this little planter or a pot, right? And I've been watering them and nothing has happened yet. And then Maggie says, well, Daddy, let's go back to the ones we planted last year and go look at those. And I went back. We're like, she knew right where they were. She's like, Dad, they're right over here. And so I look, and guess what? There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing growing. Now, she wasn't disheartened or dissuaded by that. She's like, she's got faith as a child. She's like, well, these are going to grow. So in 3 to 5 years, we'll come back to this message, and we'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit and how it grows. The point of all that is this takes time. This is not an overnight thing. Love, joy, peace. Like, you can't walk in those things without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit inside of you, and we have to all recognize that we're all in a growth pattern or a growth path on all 9 of those. And some of us are further along on ones than on others. And this is sort of this thing that's working in our life through God over the course of time. It's not by our works, but it's our time of just being to lay down our flesh and to lay down these things and say, Jesus, I need you today. And the interesting thing on how do you get a tree to grow, for those who understand that, is you have to do a few things, which I didn't do on last year's apple seeds. I didn't water it. I didn't weed it. In fact, I don't even really know what happened to it. I think I put it in mulch. That was probably a bad idea, right? Are they actually going to grow in mulch? Probably not. There's probably something that kills them in there, right? So there are these intentional things that we could do, and we're going to get into those things as these spiritual maturity things of things we can do, but we have to know first, it is not by works. It is not by us trying to do these things. It's by us releasing our lives to God, and then he does a work on the inside. And then the outcome of these things is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we're going to look at one of them this morning, just one. We're going to look at love. We're going to look at love. You know, Paul, he put this one first. I don't believe that's accidental, but I won't get into a lot of the different reasons why this morning. But there's 3 types of love that are found in the Bible. There's 3 types of love in the Bible. There's agape love, phileo love, and eros love. And one means brotherly love, which is where you get Philadelphia from. Eros love is a romantic love. But this love that Paul wrote is agape. It's an unconditional love is what he wrote. And I had mentioned before that Tim Keller did this commentary on Galatians, and this is his definition of love, of what he put down. So you can write this down or take a picture of it. It says, it means to serve a person for their good and intrinsic value, not for what the person brings you. Oof. That's a good definition. Now, you know, our definition as a church, we've used this a lot, is doing the best possible thing for the other person in the moment. But I want to use this definition. It says, it means to serve a person. To serve a person for their good and intrinsic value. Intrinsic value means that they belong naturally, that they are essential, that they are from God and not from any other thing. Not what they look like, not their personality, not the job that they have, not the car that they drive, not the place in town that they live. None of that matters when it comes to this word and what we're talking about. It is for their intrinsic value because God made them. They are God's child. This is as good an intrinsic value of what it means to serve a person for their good and strength, not for what the person brings to you. Now I'm going to get into that in a moment because that's a tough thing to hear. It was tough for me as I was studying this out. Then the opposite So if there is a definition, there's got to be an opposite of this thing as well. And we're going to look at the definition, the opposite, and then the counterfeit. And the counterfeit is where we'll spend just a few moments because I think it's very interesting to look at. The opposite, in this case, is fear. It manifests itself in the self-protection and the abusing of people. That's the opposite of love. That's pretty clear. I mean, it's like, well, yeah, of course, that makes a lot of sense. That's the opposite of it. Someone is, you know, how they're acting is they're being self-protective. They're not going to let anybody in, and they're actually going to be abusive, either outwardly or neglect, and there's a lot of different things we can get into. But I want to talk about this morning is the counterfeit. Oh. Actually, I'm going to have a hard time even reading it. The counterfeit of love. Selfish affection. Where you are attracted to someone and treat them well because of how they make you feel about yourself. Oh my goodness. Like this, when I read this definition of it, I was like, oh my goodness. And look, I think all of us have done this. All of us still have a tendency to do it. And I'm going to say, well, Pastor Jason, what are you talking about? Okay, let me give you an example from me in my own life. Now, granted, I love to do dishes. Okay? Like, I love to get dirty, my hands dirty in the kitchen. I love to do the dishes for the family. But there are times when I realize that I am doing the dishes, not out of sacrificial love for my family, but for what somebody else will tell me because of me doing the dishes, so that they can give me a little praise, a little, oh, Daddy, thank you so much for doing the dishes. Oh, honey, you're so amazing, all the works that you do around this house for us. Oh, you serve us. You know what? I am actually not serving them because I love them in that case. I'm serving them so I can get some. Come on, guys. We all do this in certain ways, in certain areas of our life. We're not acting truly out of love, but we're acting out of what I can get in return. And I was like, oh, Tim Keller, why? Why did you write the commentary? Why did we have to come across this? Because I think it's important for us to know that each of these fruit, that there's a counterfeit to the fruit. And a counterfeit is not like me picking up a plastic banana. You know how you have like play food? Go to the nursery and get play food. And you're like, oh, that's just a plastic banana. That's so funny. It looks so real. No, the actual counterfeit is like, I think Pastor Lewis said, it's like poisonous. It's actually something that you eat and you're like, oh, wow, this feels so great. But what it's actually doing is poisoning the inside of you. We're beginning to act and to do things in really a selfish way. And so I read this and was like, I'm eating poisonous bananas. Oh my gosh. Lord, help me. And it gets back to what we started with. I can't try to love better or more. I need Jesus to help me to do it. I need Jesus to point out to me when I'm about to walk up to the dish and say, I'm going to do these dishes. My family's going to be so happy and proud of me. And they're going to be like, oh, Daddy, we love you. We love you. You do so much for us. Like, I'm doing it because I want to hear that. Now, sometimes I'm cutting the grass just because I love my family, right? But there are things that we do in our lives, in our relationships. And how many of you, growing up or when you were dating somebody, you dated someone not because you liked them, but because how they made you feel about yourself. You're like, oh, I remember that. You don't have to go back and relive those relationships or begin thinking about those things. But we have to reflect. If this is the counterfeit of it, I want to know it, I want to expose it, and I want to begin to live my life in a way that recognizes, wait a second, am I doing this thing out of selfish ambition, or am I really doing this thing because I love this person? Am I doing it out of love? And when we do it out of selfish ambition, we're doing it for all the wrong reasons, and a lot of times we don't even get what we wanted out of it anyway. It's like this deep hole that we can't get enough of. We have to recognize that and see that and realize that in our own lives. Grace, if you want to come up. Jesus' love, it's the only way. We can learn from Jesus' love and what he has done for us. And I'll tell you what, the other example that we have, and parents, I'm not going to go into this as in a parenting seminar, but many a times we do not, and I'm included in this. It's all about me this morning, right? We don't hold our kids to a standard, or we want to be their friends, or we do and we act as parents in such a way so that, oh, you know, my child loves me and they love me. Actually, they will love you when you set boundaries up, when you begin to put guidelines up, when you begin to put guardrails up. That is true effective parenting, and that is truly loving them, not out of selfish ambition. Because, man, you know, when you set a boundary up for your kid, it's like you're not getting good feedback from them. Oh, Daddy, thank you so much for cutting my screen time down to 30 minutes today because I didn't clean up my bedroom. Oh, I love that boundary. Thank you so much, Daddy. No, you say, and they're just like, they're upset, but in the end, they're actually loved, and they realize that there's going to be some accountability. But that's what we're talking about here. That's what we're saying, is we have to recognize how we're acting and what we're doing and go back to Jesus. Go back to Jesus. Go back to him and say, Jesus, I need you today. I cannot love unless I have you in my life. Because the flesh wants the selfish stuff. Oh yeah, give me the accolades. This is for me. You might have your own thing. Give me the accolades. Tell me I'm such a good dad. Tell me, you know, my kids go to bed and they say, you're the best daddy in the whole world. I love that. But am I loving them? Am I doing and acting in such a way that it's not truly out of my heart and out of agape, unconditional love, but am I doing it so that I can get something in return? Bible says in John 13, 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. It talks about Jesus as well in John 15, 13, said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Guys, we can't do that in our own strength, in our own power. I just want you guys this morning just to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. There's two questions I want to ask today about this fruit of the Spirit of love. We're going to take a time of reflection. We're going to take a minute. I just want you to ask God to show you, in what ways in your life are you loving in a counterfeit way? Ask him right now to show you with whom or how or what you are doing where your flesh feels like you're loving, but you're actually just looking for something else. This counterfeit love, this poisonous love, we're giving to get and to receive something in return, like a transaction. If I give this, then I get that. It's not what love is. Lord, show us, reveal to us areas in our life, whether it's with our children or our spouse or our coworkers, Holy Spirit, by your power, reveal those things to us. Show us where we are showing a counterfeit love. And Lord, help us to see it, to expose it, and to change it. The second question is just to ask the Lord this morning to show you how to love more like him. because it looks different in every situation, every circumstance. It's doing the best possible thing for the other person in the moment. So, Lord, we ask you this morning to show us. Reveal to us, Lord. Grow us in this fruit by us relying and trusting fully, completely in you. I thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, why don't you look up here? I haven't stopped doing the dishes. But I'm making it a point to do them with a different intent. What's that?
Freely.
Yeah, so I'm not saying all those who, if you feel like, oh, I'm just doing this, something else, just stop doing everything that you're doing. But it's really to sit back and say, why am I truly doing it? And to reflect on it. And to freely choose to do that thing out of love and out of serving. And not so that we can get something back in return. Church, as we close this morning, I'm going to have some prayer teams are going to come up here. They're going to pray. Don't forget, Brother Paul's group is tonight, 6:30 here in the sanctuary. But if this is just, if this message hits you and you just need someone to pray with you today, maybe you need prayer for healing, maybe you need prayer for salvation. So, you know, Pastor Jason, I hear you. I can't do any of these things. I need Jesus in my life. That's it. I know it. Then come up here and someone will pray with you. And you can receive Jesus today with a very simple prayer that will change your life. Will not make it easier, but will change your life forever and ever and ever. So I'm going to read this benediction over you guys this morning. It says this, Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace who brought you, your Lord Jesus, up from the dead, that the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. Working in you that is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. I love you guys. Truly, agape love. That's all the reason why I'm here today doing this. Wasn't because of my own want to, right? Amen. We see you guys. We love you. Have a wonderful week.